Hello, my name is Sam Walsh, and right now I'm fortunate enough to be sitting down with Martin Dosh from the Dosh Project. He just finished up playing a wonderful 20-minute set right here in our studios at Radio K. First of all, thank you so much for being here.
Right on. Thanks, Sam. Thanks everybody else, too. Yeah, all definitely. The K-ers in there.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about what you played for us today?
Let's see. I'll have to hash it out here. The first thing I did is this new thing I've been working on. It'll probably wind its way and wind up being another like 10-minute long song, but it's all these parts I gotta stitch together. It all sounds a little bit different, but that's a new one. It doesn't really have a title, so we'll call it Untitled 47 or something like that.
Sure.
The second thing I did was it was basically like the thing I did for this Fred Rogers puppet show that I did with my friend Bart. Sort of a sample of the song There Are Many Ways to Say I Love You. Mm-hmm. But it's a sample of Sylvan Esso, Amelia singing the song.
It's beautiful.
Those guys sent me for the show. Yeah. And then the third thing I did was an old song called, I can't remember what that one's called. Ghost Business, I think it's called, The Ghost Business.
Okay.
And then the last thing I did was just improv with a little bit of Serengeti rap a cappella at the end.
I love that, the Chicago thing, right?
Kenny Dennis.
It sounds great. Yeah, for those of you just tuning in right now, Dosh played for 20 minutes straight, just about, right? Normally when we have bands come in, they do a four-song set, so it was really interesting, really entertaining to have someone come in and do something a bit different. I really like that. You've got a show coming up on Saturday, this December 15th, at the Cedar, and that'll be with Serengeti Stoliette and the Guitar Orchestra of Minnesota. Can you tell us a little bit about what to expect from that night, and can you tell the audience what the Guitar Orchestra of Minnesota is?
Sure, yeah. The Guitar Orchestra is just basically, I got the idea from this thing in Chicago, mm-hmm. called the Guitar Orchestra, which is run by this guy, Plastic Crime Wave. And Jeremy Ilvesacker and I were doing a show there at the Hideout with Andrew at Bird, and the Guitar Orchestra had set up, basically, he invited all these guitar players to come down. There's like 70 of them set up in the parking lot with amps everywhere, and it was just, you know, they're all playing in the key of E, and it was just, if you showed up with a guitar and amp, you could play. So it was really cool, like, art installation, ambient sort of soundscape, just madness. It was really cool. So we wanted to do something like that here. We got permission to use that name, so it's just basically a bunch of people set up around the room at the Cedar, playing ambiently, so...
Yeah, do you have the guitarists picked out ahead of time this time around? Or
yeah, I think I've invited maybe about 9 or 10 people, maybe a few keyboard players too. But we'll see who shows up. I'm sure it'll be cool.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
It's different every year.
Yeah, and that's on the 15th. And also that show is all ages.
And those guys start right when the doors open, so you walk into the room with the music already going.
Cool, so
it's
I think
walk-in music.
I think it starts at 7?
Starts at 7.
Yes, wonderful. Where are you from, and what is it known for?
I'm from Minneapolis, which is known for Prince, and what else is Minnesota known for? Lakes.
Yeah, there you go.
A lot of parks.
Mr. Dillon.
Really terrible drivers. not really sure what else.
Better than some, worse than others. What was the first show that you ever saw that you can remember?
The first show I ever saw that, like, by myself was probably, let's see. I think my mom took me to see Arlo Guthrie and Pete Seeger when I was, like, 6, maybe.
That'd be very cool.
I remember being really into Alice's Restaurant, the story part of it. And then the first concert I saw by myself was George Thorogood.
Okay.
That was when I was like 7th grade or something like that.
Nice. That's
Roy
cool.
Roy Wilkins.
Did you grow up in the metro, Minneapolis?
Yeah, I grew up in South Minneapolis.
Okay, wonderful. If you could play a concert anywhere in the state, where would you play at? Do you have a favorite venue here?
My favorite venue is The Entry.
Okay.
If I could play anywhere, that's probably where I would play. Yeah. It's just something about the mojo in that room is pretty great, and it's a weird shaped room, but
it's a weird shaped.
Played there so many times and seen so many great shows there. It's just got, just thinking of all the people that have played there too. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about how the Dosh Project started?
It basically started just by me and just my obsessive recording, just trying to, you know, make a statement or make my vote, my own vote, figure out what my voice was, mm-hmm. and make a recording. And then once I made the recording, I sort of had to figure out how to perform it. And that took another, you know, year or two to figure that out. But, yeah, I guess just sort of trying to figure out and just all my disparate influences and, you know, just throwing them together and seeing what they made and trying to create something that was uniquely me.
Yeah, when you, were you in bands? Were you participating in music projects before that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like full bands?
Yeah, totally. I played in a band called Late Duster, mm-hmm. originally Crop Duster, and I played with Fog when Andy first started playing. I played in this band called Iffy with the Johnson Brothers of Run Westy Run, mm-hmm. for a while, and I was doing all kinds of music stuff in Minneapolis. I had my own band. We used to play the 400 Bar called Nasty Goat. Hanging out with, James Everest and doing all the Freeloaded at the Front shows. That's where kind of where I met everybody. And then playing at the Dinky Towner when that used to be there. And, you know, the Clown Lounge, all those places.
Yeah. At what point were you like, okay, I'm participating in these bands, but I want to do something on my own? And right away, did you know that you wanted to have this self-functioning setup like that you have today?
I didn't know, because I think initially it was sort of wanting to hear, because I'm mainly a drummer, and so I was mm-hmm. playing drums in bands. I guess just wanting to hear other sounds with, I don't know, just wanted to, I don't think it ever dawned on me that I could play a show by myself until I had actually already finished my first record. So it was more just once I had a record and I had songs that I had written and they were good enough to be performed, I had to sort of figure out how to do that with loop pedals. So it was more just a necessary function of like wanting to have a different project so that I could have, because I guess, you know, you kind of, it doesn't really, I don't know. Playing music with other people is definitely way more fun than playing music by yourself. But there is some sort of interior thing that I get out of playing alone that's different and kind of special. And I don't know, but it's...
I mean, it's all you, right?
It just sort of I don't know. It helps like sort of reconnect synapses in my brain to do that or something like that.
Yeah, how has the project changed over the years? Is there anything looking back on it now that you're like, wow, why did I do that this way when I do it now this way, you know?
I mean, I think if anything else, what has changed is sort of having other collaborators and, you know, that's kind of the main thing is that, because, you know, it is me playing by myself, but all my records that I've released as Dosh are like, would be nothing without all the people that have played on them. So like people would come in and improvise, and then I would cut up their stuff, or people would help me, you know, rearrange songs or help me write songs. So there's just a list of other people that have contributed to the recordings is way bigger than me. It's just that because it's my name, I sort of have the final say in editing and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, like Mike Lewis and Ilva Sacher, all the guys that I play with in other bands, the Cloak Ox, like Andy Broder, you know, there's just so many people that have contributed to the oeuvre or whatever.
Sure, interesting. Can you give us a little sneak peek about anything that you have, any new music that you're making? What do you have in the works?
I have a bunch of new stuff. I've sort of been kind of just taking a break from writing new stuff. I haven't really, it's kind of a long story, but my computer stuff is not functioning. I don't really have a good way to record at my house. So I'm kind of writing with a different approach. I don't know. I would say, and also my record label, Anticon, is sort of, mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what the status of Anticon is right now, but one of the founders of the label passed away this year.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's a major bummer. And so, not that I don't have a home or not that I can't find someone to put up my music, but it's just always been kind of associated with Anticon, so it's sort of, I don't know, it's just kind of like, I guess I kind of want to figure out what I want to do that would be newer and differenter than stuff yeah. that I've already done, because I've already put out a lot of stuff.
Yeah, where do you go from here?
Yeah, but I mean, I love touring, and so I need to, you know, obviously have some sort of a new product to get out there and promote, and I don't know, I have a bunch of new stuff.
Are you experimenting with different genres? Like, how are you
I don't even really think about it like that. I think about it just in terms, because I don't even really know what genre I play. I have no idea what it is.
I don't either, yeah.
And then it might be a good idea, actually, for me to specifically be like, okay, I'm going to do this, and then, you know.
Yeah, maybe set some hard rules, and then operate within those. Interesting. Well, there's plenty that you can do. I mean, I'm sure you'll be able to think of something.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, the stuff I did with John Davis, the Dosh and Ghost Band, Def Keth stuff, is, like, mm-hmm. extremely rigid as far as, like, what we're, you know, every song was the same BPM, and it's really, really fun stuff. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. Eventually I'll get back into the studio and record something. So it shouldn't be too long now.
Cool. Well, I love that. What's the one thing that you're looking forward to most in the future for the Dosh project?
I think just to basically have... It's basically what I've been doing the last probably 6 months, just having all the stuff set up back in my basement, just recording new stuff. And, nice. You know, 'cause that's basically like... It's always a work in progress, and if I have the means to record just at my fingertips, and I can just go in the basement and, you know, record an idea immediately, I'll have an album done in no time.
Yeah.
So I guess that's just what I kind of want to do, is have a space where I can just be creative kind of whenever I want to.
Yeah, definitely. I do too. I want new
Everybody
music.
Everybody should have that.
Yes, I agree. I love that. All right, well, is there anything else you'd like to touch on before we get out of here?
No, I it's been great to be back here. I haven't been here in a while, but I've been here and played this room many times, and you guys are doing a great job at the K.
Thank you very much. All right, well, you just heard from Dosh live in our studio here at Radio K. You can check them out online or in real life this December 15th. They'll be playing at the Cedar Cultural Center. On that bill, it is Dosh and Friends with Serengeti Stoliette and the Guitar Orchestra of Minnesota. And that's at the Cedar, and that's an all-ages show. But for right now, we're going to get back to the music right here on Radio K, Real College Radio.